Welcome back to the Columbus Board of Realtors, woodwhippy.com. In this video, we are covering material from our Focus Real Estate Data Accuracy class. Please be aware that due to the nature of the finding policy and according to the right of revision, the information contained in this video is accurate as of August of 2010. Please visit the Columbus Board of Realtors website to obtain the latest version of the Policy Violation Manual.
This process started in 2006 and was created, then had a three-month warning period. Now, that is a three-month grace period, if you will, where we just warned people that they had done something that was finable, but we didn't actually assess a monetary value to it. After that three-month grace period, then the finding process was, in actuality, a full go, where we had fines and warnings assessed. The point of the finding process is a deterrent, not a fundraiser. We are trying to get accurate and correct information in the MLS and to prevent it from being used as an advertising tool. Because, especially in a down market, there's always an incentive to put in information that's sort of true but makes the house look better. Well, sort of true is wrong in a database, because when you search for sort of true, you get false. Okay, so accurate data really is the point of the whole finding system. It was established by the MLS committee and approved by the board of directors here at the Columbus Board. Upon completion of this class, you will have a better understanding of the violations, how they work, knowledge of the assessment process, and how to avoid, how to appeal, and how to pay the fine. Please, again, hold all questions until the end. We'll also talk about future finding policy as we progress. Without further ado, first type, and by the way, in your packet there, you have the slides on the screen, so you don't need to write those down. You already have them with you. There is a notes section beside each slide. Please use that for any notes you have or here that you didn't understand. Or if you have questions, feel free to write them on there and then ask them at the end. That's also a good use for that note space beside each slide. As I mentioned earlier, warning then fine is the first type of fine we're going to talk about. Violation type 1, warning then fine. There will be a one agent per violation per rolling year for each of these types of fines. That means if an agent received a warning for unallowable data on photos, the first one we're going to look at here, that same agent for that same fine has a one-year rolling expiration on that warning. So if they don't get another unallowable data on photo notice, they won't get a fine at all. The warning will expire after 1 year, and if they accidentally do it again a year and a day later, then they won't get a fine, or they'll just get another warning. However, if they do it and then 2 months later commit the same infraction, then they would be assessed an immediate fine. The warning is one time per agent per rolling year. You will notice that the numbering is non-sequential, and I've kind of given you a hint as to why that is. These have been taken out of order because they are warning then fine, and in the second half of the class we're going to talk about immediate fines. So they're out of order, and we've given you little notes on the right-hand side over there. Those little icons, you see a white smiley face and a black smiley face. I think you'll also see hearts and shamrocks and other things. Those are just to clue you in as to the fine and violation manual that you received in your packet as well. These will match up with those fines on the back page, so it's easier for you to look them up. That's what the little symbols mean on the slides. So, for example, if you look at the 1.01.04, you'll want to match that up with the black smiley face at the back of your man. Now, first one we're going to talk about here is unallowable data on photos. 1.03.03. Photos entered on the MLS cannot have markings on them, with very few exceptions, and I'm going to give you those exceptions. The only markings allowed are the CBR MLS logo provided by the board's photographer. We no longer have a photographer. We had a subcontractor prior to 2009. It's been over a year.
It's 2008.
Up and through 2008, we had a board photographer. The CBR MLS logo appears at the bottom right-hand corner. You may have seen it on older listings. That is no longer the case, but they are still out on the system and therefore are MLS property, and you're welcome to reuse those. That is also allowed on the photo, the CBR MLS logo. Another thing that can be allowed on there is a word, facsimile or artist's rendering. For example, if it's a new build property, you don't want to take a picture of the wood frame all naked. So you put up an artist's rendering, and you can put the word artist rendering, and in fact, you need to put artist rendering so they know that's not the actual picture of the house, because some of these 3D graphics now can look like the real thing. So please note artist's rendering or facsimile is acceptable, as long as it is an actual artist rendering or facsimile of the real house. You know, don't put a facsimile of a three-story mansion that's, you know, 28 bedrooms when it's a two-story or a bi-level. So please put an accurate rendering, but that is allowed as well. Now, examples of unallowable data, and these are only examples. Readable signs in the front yard. How exactly does that work, and what does readable mean?
If we pull up the photo, you can read either company or phone number, email address, etc., and then it would be considered readable, and it would be allowed in there.
Okay, and that's your for sale sign, or even that would even be an under contract sign if the property is already under contract, correct?
Yeah,
okay.
That makes sense.
Any company sign, company name, company logo. How about a watermark? Can you have a watermark on your listing photo? No. Watermarks, company names, logos are not allowed. The only exception to that would be if you had like a contracted photo with a professional photo company, if they watermark their image. Since they don't have anything to do with the sale of the property, they're just claiming their image as their property, that would be allowed. But if it has to do with the sale of the property, it cannot be identified. The point here being these are public photos. They go out to the public, and so if the public sees a way to get back to the listing agent, they may cut their buyer's representative out of the picture, and that's why all these rules exist, just for fair play. Okay? Remember, this policy also works on the remarks attached to the photo. So if you have a picture of the vestibule and there's a crystal chandelier that was made in Austria and oak woodwork going up the staircase, go ahead and describe all that. But as soon as you say, and I am Matt Warren, call me at this number, now that's violation. You've identified yourself, and those are also public remarks. 1.01.04, incorrect property type. Listings entered must display the current property type as defined by the auditor of the county, such as condos cannot be entered as single family, and single family cannot be entered as condo. Please keep in mind, this applies to the attached and detached. That has nothing to do with the garage. The property type attached means shares a wall with another property. Detached means does not share a wall. So a typical single family two-story is a single family detached property. It stands alone, does not share a wall with another property. And that must be correct for all categories, not just residential, but that's the residential example. 1.01.06, unallowable data in remarks or additional remarks, and remember that is photo remarks as well, because photo remarks are public. Not mentioned there, that was mentioned under photos, but all of the remarks that are public cannot have personally identifying information. Is there anyone who doesn't know the difference between remarks and additional remarks? Okay, remarks is our standard 320 character remarks. Additional remarks is 2,400 extra characters that only appear on the additional remarks sheet. Now, both of them are public, and both of them can be displayed on IDX and on Realtor.com, so they cannot have names, phone numbers, company names, slogans, fax numbers, email addresses, web addresses, etc., because they're public. So no personally identifying information of any kind in either remarks, additional remarks, or photo remarks. Now, that is to be differentiated between the A2A remarks. Does anybody not know what that is? Okay, agent-to-agent remarks. That can have personally identifying information. That can have the agent's phone number. That can have the home seller's phone number if they're doing showings. A2A, agent-to-agent remarks, is specifically for agent communication. Therefore, the finding rules of unallowable data do not apply to A2A. All other remarks field, it doesn't apply. Blank or information incorrect required data field 1.01. In the remarks section, I kind of touched on it, but one thing agents used to do is they would put for showings, call seller, or entry only, call seller for all negotiation. Okay? Or call the listing agent, or call, you know, anytime you put any information that is involved with you talking to the other agent, it belongs in A2A. Well, as of last month, they made it not only belongs in A2A, but it's finable if you put it in public remarks. So whenever you talk about calling someone or showing information or who you should see if you have, that all belongs in A2A. unless the general public needs to know it, it doesn't belong in the remarks section. And showing information and that kind of call this person information was deemed by the MLS committee to be agent only, therefore A2A only. Okay, is that good?
Yep.
All right. Next one, 1.01.03, blank or incorrect information in required data field. And these are the required data fields that are currently marked for incorrect information. Go ahead, please, Heather, and describe for us what belongs and what doesn't belong in these fields.
Just real quick, municipality is the township, or if it's not in the township, it's going to be the corporate limits of the properties in. School district is the school district where the property is located. I know there's some confusion because some people pay for their kids to go to a different school if they're right on the border. It has to be listed as whatever the auditor has the school district listed as on that one. Buyer, broker, tenant rep, or sub-agency, one or the other requires a dollar amount or percentage to be entered in there. Lot size or acreage, again, one or the other requires something to be entered. If you enter lot size, you don't have to enter acreage. You're more than welcome to enter both if you want. Just one or the other is required.
Talk about irregular lot size there.
If it's an irregular, like a pie-shaped lot, you can put IRR by IRR in the lot dimensions, which would satisfy the requirement there, indicating that it's irregular by irregular.
Just remember, don't put that because you're not sure. Right. Or you don't know if it, you know, if you put in IRR and it's found to be a standard rectangular lot, that would be fine. But if it's not, if it is a wedge-shaped or a pie-shaped lot, then IRR would be acceptable. And for condos, it'll auto-pop, right?
Right. It'll auto-pop CND by CND, which fills the requirement as well for that. Parcel number is the full parcel number assigned by the county auditor. Tax district is going to be a 2-to-4-digit code, I guess you would say. Some have alphabet letters in it and some don't. Some are just numerical. So you'll get that from the county auditor as well. County is just the county the property is located in. Zip code is going to be just the 5-digit zip code for the property. You don't have to worry about the extra 4 digits. It's just the 5 digits there.
And as far as zip code goes, we are in the process of converting a couple of these fields right now. Zip code is currently a text entry field where you'll type 4, 3, you know, whatever. That's not going to be the case very soon. We're going to be converting the zip code field to a numerical pick list where you won't type anything. Well, you can. If you type 4, or can't even think of a zip code, 432, it will jump to 4321, it'll jump to 4321, 43219, it'll jump to that, and then you can just click on it. Or you can scroll down through the list and pick it. So the pick list will clean up a lot of bad data where people, you know, you get fumbly fingers and you accidentally hit 1 twice and you put in the wrong zip code. You can still do that, but that would be better just to click on the list, scroll down, and click on the correct zip code. So that is coming, as well as for school district is in the process of cleanup as well, and a new field called corp limits will be replacing municipality. So there are some changes coming to this, but basically the fields that are already there will continue to be there and will continue to be final. Sorry, go ahead.
No problem. If you want to go over area.
Area? Okay, area is a field right now that is still findable, even though it is in the process of being removed from our system. Unfortunately, that puts agents who are not familiar with areas in a very bad situation, as they have to determine the area of their listed property without a book that has been out of publication for 5 years, and without the knowledge of the areas, that because they haven't been in the business for 5 years. So what you'll need to do if you have questions about an area is locate the book. And compare the book to the auditor's record. Make sure the tax district says it's in the municipality of Dublin, and in the book it shows that it's in the municipality of Dublin. But if you can't locate a book, or if you have a question where a property's right on the line, please feel free to call the MLS department. Ask for MLS, ask for fines, ask for tech support. Any of us can help you find the correct area for your listing. We certainly do not want you to be fined, and so we are more than available to do that. So if you have a question about an area, please call us, ask, like I said, ask for anybody in MLS or tech support, and we can take care of that. We can look it up for you. Anything else I need to say about areas? Oh, yeah, sorry. No, no, have at it.
Thanks so much. Just real quick, I want to show you where to find some of the information. This is just Franklin County Auditor's page here. We're just going to click on the real estate page. Then that'll bring you to this page. For today's example, we just did an address search. If you know the parcel ID, you can do that. Owner's name, etc. There you can see all the options. So we're just going to do address. And we put in the street name, the street number. hit search. We did 346 Goshen Lane for our example, which will give you the summary page here. Up at the top, you'll see the parcel number here. A lot of people have been grabbing this mapping number by accident. Just when you're getting it, make sure you're getting the parcel number, not the mapping number there. Down here, you'll see where it has tax district, and the code is right there in front of it, 025 for this example. And then whatever's next to it will be what your municipality is. It'll either say township, blah, 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 or city of Kahana. And then right next to that is the school district, or right underneath will be what school district is there. Over here, you'll see the zip code for the property. And then along the side here, you'll have a bunch of other options. We'll go over the photo later, but I just want to show you where the photo was on here. You can use the auditor's photo. It's public domain. And then mapping as well. This is where you'll find your lot dimensions.
Keep in mind with the parcel number up there at the top left-hand corner, in Franklin County, you'll notice the first three digits, then a hyphen, the next six digits, and then a hyphen, and then two digits. Call it the 362 format. Not standard at all for all counties, only for Franklin County. There is at least one other county I know of that does that, but most of the surrounding counties around Franklin don't do it that way. So don't assume that the first three digits, like they are in Franklin, is the tax district. Now you'll notice this one is 025, 025. That's your tax district, no problem. If you do the same thing in Delaware and take 24 as the first two digits, well, that has to be that. No, it really doesn't. Be careful. Every county does it different. You have to know. The best way is to look in their tax district field and see the number they put there. Some counties, it'll be part of the parcel number, like Franklin. Others, it won't at all. It'll be a completely separate field, and they are never conjoined. So keep that in mind. You have to be careful with the parcel ID. And as she pointed out, don't grab the wrong number because the routing number starts with 0252. But that's the most important thing, is don't assume that all counties have the same format. They don't. Okay, so we clicked on Map GIS.
Yep. That'll bring you up the dimensions of the lot. You'll see here it's 75 by 135.95. You don't have to put the 0.95. You can round up, round down one number. We're not going to find you for that or anything. But here you'll also see if it's an irregular lot. You can put the IRR in there if you want it. And then I'm just going to show you where the photo is. We click on the photo button there. Then it'll pull up the photo, which you would just right-click your mouse, go save as, save it in your documents, and then you would upload it to MLS.
Now, this is one of the other things, and I need to write that down on the slide. You'll notice it has the parcel number at the bottom, which is useful. That's nothing wrong with that. And that is another exception to the no writing on it. Obviously, the parcel number does not identify the listing agent or the selling agent or anybody else. So that would be acceptable to have that on there. But when you upload tempo photos, you have the ability to zoom in, and zooming in will crop off that number off the bottom of it. And that's what I'd recommend you do, because the number kind of looks ugly anyway. You're not going to be fined for having the parcel number from the county auditor at the bottom. It just kind of looks bad, but that's up to you. Just so you know, if you did upload that photo with the parcel number, that would not be fine.
And date stamps are also okay to have.
Right, because a lot of cameras will have that orange glowing date stamp at the bottom right. That's fine.
Yep.
Thank you.
Continuing on with warning, then fine. 1.05.01, non-reported in contracts. Now, we're going to talk a lot about dates, and I'm going to try to summarize them all for you in this oversimplified summary. Now, I stress it's oversimplified, but a good way to think of it is listing a property and closing a property is 72 hours. All other status changes are 24 hours. Think of it that way. Now, we're going to give you each one broken down right now, but just understand that all status changes have a date limit. Usually, it's listing and selling. Both sides, both ends of it are 72 hours, and changes to the status within that time are 24 hours. Now, let's talk about non-reported in contracts, 1.05.01. All listings that have an accepted purchase contract by the seller need the status updated to either under contract, contingent escape, or contingent financing inspection within 24 hours. So once that accepted purchase contract by the seller is obtained, 24 hours, it has to be under contract, contingent escape, or contingent financing. We have another contingent on the way. There's another status going to be added to the system very soon called contingent on lien holder release. And I'm assuming that it'll follow that same 24-hour rule. It's just another contingency that's available. But 24 hours. Now, this excludes weekends and federal holidays, which means if the 24-hour limit is on a weekend or federal holiday, then it would be the agent's responsibility to get it in the next business day. So let's say Labor Day is coming up, and you get the 24-day limit on Saturday, and Labor Day is on Monday, so you would have until Tuesday to have it on the MLS, because the 24-hour limit would be Saturday, that's a weekend, Sunday, that's a weekend, Monday, federal holiday, it would be required on Tuesday, correct?
Okay.
Okay? Now, let's talk about, is this where we talk about NIMSI and 24 hours from the bank owned?
Yeah, HUD properties, I don't know if anybody here deals with the HUD properties, but they have 24 hours from the date that the bid's accepted on the NIMSI website, which is the website that you check the status of a HUD. They have 24 hours from the time that it goes bid accepted on that website to update them. And then we'll go over them a little bit further. But also, short sale properties. It's 24 hours from the date that the listing agent gets both the buyer's and the seller's signature on it, and they send it to the bank. If they send it to the bank with only the buyer's signature and the sellers never sign off, then it's not under contract yet, and it can stay active in a couple months. But once you get both those signatures, it has to go into at least the contingent status at that point.
1.02.01, entry of branded virtual tour or links on listings. Any virtual tour or link on a listing cannot have any branding. Branding is included but not limited to company name, agent name, phone number, fax number, slogan, just like we said with photos. You cannot personally identify yourself or your company. The agent cannot have a YouTube video. Excuse me. The agent can have a YouTube video, but it cannot be branded. We'll talk a little bit about YouTube video in just a second. But also verbal branding. Imagine the YouTube video you put up there that doesn't have a logo on it, doesn't have a company sign on it, but then you say, "Hi, I'm Matt with Warren Realty, and I want to show you this great house on," that's branding. Okay? Talk a little bit about clicking through links on YouTube videos or any virtual tour link, clicking through.
If you have a unbranded virtual tour, but it has a contact link, and you click on that, and it takes you back to someone else's page, that's branding. If you click on the username in, like, YouTube, say it's just Columbus Realtor, and you click on that, and it takes you to the page with your profile, and it has your name, your company, your contact information, all that, it would be considered branded. So just make sure there's no links to any branded pages, and there's no branding on the actual tour itself.
And obviously, don't do the obvious. WarrenRealty.com, sending them to your main page, bad idea. Okay, because your main page is obviously going to be branded. Schools and builders can, unless. Talk to us why you couldn't put the builder's name.
The only time that the builder's website would be able to be on the listing as like a link would be if the builder, if they built it like 2 or 3 years ago and it's sold once and they're not involved in the sale or transaction of the property, then it would be okay to have it. But if it's a new build and they can go to the builder or to the listing agent, then it would be considered branding since that goes out to the general public and they can bypass their agent.
But schools and other links like that that are useful, so community associations would be allowed. Okay.
Yeah, they can put golf courses if it's on a golf course.
Okay. So that's correct use of virtual tour or web links on listings. Now, the next one is near and dear to my heart. 1.01.05, inaccurate geocoding, that is map placement. If you're not familiar with geocoding, it is the process by which a home is located by latitude and longitude for purposes of polygon search. If you're not familiar with polygon search, I can show you that after class, or if you're not familiar with the geocoding process, I can show you that after class. Here's how it works. The latitude and longitude assigned by the MLS system is not guaranteed. The MLS committee has determined that because of polygon searching, it is so absolutely important to have correct location on the map that we're going to require agents to check it every time they enter a listing. Now, it sounds very scary, this latitude and longitude location. Don't worry, you don't have to type a 32-character decimal number. All you have to do is click on the rooftop on the map of the property for sale. It's really that easy. Like I said, I can show you in 2 minutes after class. That said, it's that important. This is how polygons work. Therefore, if it's not geocoded right, you're not going to be found. And I stress always with this. You will get a fine if someone drives out to that house, takes their clients, and then realizes it's on the other side of the county. Because they're going to call the MLS and say, I just made a fool of myself in front of my clients because this property was geocoded wrong. And you could understand why they would be angry. Now, that's the realistic view. Here's a more realistic view. You might have gotten a fine for that. But how about all the people who were searching with a polygon in the neighborhood where your house is, and it's on the other side of the county as far as geocode goes? They're never going to find your property. They're never going to email it to your client. They're never going to come to your house to show it. So geocoding is so important beyond the fine. It is obviously important enough for the fine, because if you lose a commission, that's going to be a lot more loss than a fine. Okay, so geocode, very, very important. And remember, the geocoder will try to do it for you. The software will do it for you. Usually it puts it right in front of the street or right in front of the house, which is fine. I mean, you put it in front of the driveway, that's fine. The problem is with polygons, they might run the polygon right down the middle of the street. Again, put it on the rooftop. Because on the rooftop, even if they run the polygon down the middle of the street, they're not going to accidentally exclude your property. Geocoding every property manually is a great idea. I recommend it for every single property on the system, new and existing. Next one. We're moving on to immediate fines at this time. Remember, so far we've been doing warning then fine. Immediate fine means no warning. You just get a notice in the mail and or email, and you now owe a fine because of the following. Violation type 2, immediate fines. The fine is already assessed, by the way. When you receive notice of it, it's not going to be assessed. It's already been assessed, just for the record. Now, unauthorized use, 1.03.01. 1.03.01, unauthorized use of MLS or other copyrighted photos. Photos cannot be used without the proper authorization from the photographer. Photos that have the CBR MLS logo, as we mentioned, are copyright MLS and can be reused. Auditor photos can be reused. But if you would like to use another agent's photo, you must get permission from that agent. And this is where it can get very sticky. Well, you not only must get it from the agent, but whoever has the actual authorization and permission to use that photo. So let's go back to our example with the watermark of some photography studio who came out and did professional photos with lighting, and they set up tents all around the house so the lighting was perfect, and they've got their watermarked logo on it, and you reuse their photo because the agent said you could. The problem is the agent doesn't have permission to assign the copyright for that listing photo. The company who took it does. Now, the agent may not understand copyright law. Most of us don't. But the reality is you don't know who has permission to reuse that photo unless you took it yourself. Our advice as staff, take your own photos. Every phone has a camera built into it these days. That's not a great photo, but it'll be good enough for the MLS if you just want a photo up. And if you have any decent camera anywhere within the last 5 years, it'll take a great photo of the house. So take your own photos. Or if you call the agent and get permission to use the photo, make sure they email you at very least so that you can show that, hey, they told me they had this was their photo and I was allowed to use it. But even then, do they know who really owns the photo? Did they release that photo for further use? You don't know. Take your own photos would be our advice. Improper display of photos. Well, unauthorized use of MLS photos and improper display of photos, these are not the same. 1.03.02. Photos entered must be predominantly of the property for sale. Now, photos is kind of a misnomer here, because you can have floor plans, renderings, and photos identified as facsimile, as we mentioned already. But what if you have a photo that isn't of the property? Give us some examples here, Heather. What are we talking about with this improper display?
One time someone put a picture of the swimming pool with everybody in the family in the pool on the MLS.
The party shot.
Yeah,
that's
it wouldn't be appropriate for the MLS. Someone had hunting lane and put a dead deer on the MLS.
A bloody dead animal is not professional and does not belong on the MLS.
But just, as long as they're of the property without people in it.
Now, what about a picture of a live deer standing at the corner of the pond?
Okay.
As long as the pond is for sale, obviously the deer's not for sale, but the pond is for sale and there happens to be a deer, you got lucky and you got a great photo. But it must be predominantly of